Thank you for choosing this session. We're going to get a little warm in here. It's a little packed, but I'm excited to talk to you guys. So hopefully you're in the right place. We're going to be talking about winning the Facebook ads auction, not to be confused with the organic auction, but this is mostly going to be around ads, delivery, best practices, and I will try to, there's a ton of material I want to cover. I'll try to fly through it and then make sure we have time for questions. Cool. This is me. So as Jeff mentioned, I came from a world of financial services. At Starcom MediaVest and Spark Communications in the TV buying space. Spent about 5 years at Discover managing their social and paid media, and now I'm at Facebook. So I'm kind of the marketing, I'm a client solutions manager, but what that basically means is I'm like a marketing consultant for all things Facebook. When something breaks, when they want to run a campaign, when they have questions, when there's new products. I wear many hats, and hopefully I can share some of that knowledge with you guys. So if you want to, that's my Instagram and my Twitter handle. Everybody on Facebook's also on Twitter. It's not that bad. So feel free to tweet me questions and things later. If you can't get to it today, I'm here to help you guys. Cool. So what we'll cover today, I'll start off with kind of a basic Facebook ad auction 101. There's many different levels of people in here, all different kinds of backgrounds. So I'll lay the foundation for what the auction entails and what you should know about it. We'll talk about maximizing ads delivery, the best way that you can get your ads delivered the most. Many of you might have had issues with pacing in the past. And then how to achieve more conversions on Facebook. So just by a show of hands, how many people here like actively run Facebook ads? For them, they're awesome. You guys already know what you're doing. How many here would say they're like on the client side? They're brand managers, they're the advertisers. What about agency people, creative media people? I do everything for my company people. Awesome. Okay, I've been there too. So hopefully a lot of this is relevant. I have a ton to cover. I'll try to fly through it, but if there's burning questions or something that's not clear, feel free to shoot up a hand and we'll talk about it. So let me start with just the ad auction 101. So how our auction is different. This might not be surprising for you, but everything at Facebook is algorithm based. We have a lot that goes into it, so there's no one factor that determines whether your ad gets served, and it's not just a bidded environment. It's not eBay, you place a bid, highest bid wins. A lot more goes into it, just to start off. So, if you guys heard our earnings call yesterday, we are now, this is like the 24-hour stat, there are now 1.65 billion people on Facebook each month, so that's like a lot of the world. And there's millions of advertisers, over 3 million advertisers, trying to reach them every day. So, show of hands, most of you, I hope, are on Facebook. Like you're at a social conference, I'd hope so. So you guys are among the majority, right? A lot of your people that you want to reach, your prospects, your customers, across the board, every industry, you can find them on Facebook. There's a ton of people there. And like I said, a lot of people want to reach them. So how do you do a better job of it? So we hold an auction, as you know, and the goal is to serve the right ads to the right people. That's kind of a cliche statement, but if I had to chalk up the whole ad auction to one word, it'd be relevance. So it's not just deliver advertiser dollars, it's what is the right ad for you based on millions of inputs that we serve to you so that wins out over everything else. So every single time that you are in your feed, there are millions of advertisers' impressions competing for what you see next when you scroll down. That's across the board for organic ads altogether. One person I was just speaking with recently said that, I don't think I get any ads on Facebook. Like I just scroll through and it's just content that's relevant to me. I'm like, awesome, you do, and that means we're doing a really good job. You shouldn't really notice that it's an ad. I mean, I'm sure you've all seen a bad ad. That's what I'm trying to prevent you guys from doing. You shouldn't know it's an ad. It should just be content relevant to you. Cool, so it's definitely a combination of both. The algorithm is based on equal parts advertiser value and consumer experience. So the reason that we do these both, like yin and yang across the board is we want advertisers to be able to reach the people they want. We want to deliver the impressions that they care about. We want to make sure their media delivers in full. But if you get a crappy ad, and if all your Facebook feed experience personally is just terrible ads that mean nothing to you, and we've all had some of those experiences, you're going to stop liking Facebook. You're going to stop using it. We won't have users, and we won't have an advertising platform, and our earnings will suck. So it's both things are equally important. So each ad, if you guys aren't aware, they're optimized for a specific objective, right? So every campaign, we always say, start with your business objective. It's not this cool, fancy ad product, what we can work on, or the latest and greatest. It's what does your business care about? What are they trying to solve for? And what objective does that translate into? This is through the API, Power Editor, Ads Manager. Whatever you use, there's an objective for your campaign. So Some of these aren't surprising. Some people, you start basic with just boost my posts. This is an organic thing on my page. I want more people to see it through get people to install my app. I want them to interact with it. I want people to view my video. You can bid on starts, completes. We can measure across the board for this, but the key component is that you want to start with what's important to your business and don't think of it through just the Facebook lens. So pick the objective that aligns with your business goal so that the results that we deliver align to what you truly care about. A lot of times I see if your goal is reach, you want to get as many people as possible, and you're using a video, but then you pick a video views objective, the auction's going to pick, if they have the choice between views, video views, and just reach, more impressions, it's going to go towards video views because that's what you put as the objective. And if your goal was reach in the beginning, your campaign readout later is that we didn't get that much reach, that's why. Really put a lot of thought behind what objective it is because the auction's going to do its best job possible to deliver on that. So this is how we rank ads. This is the equation. It's not that complicated, but a lot goes into it. So an ad that wins is total value. It's advertiser bid, what you actually put as your conversion amount, your bid amount, what you care about, multiplied by the action rates, and this is predicted through a lot of factors. I'll go over what auction rates are, or action rates are, plus the relevance and quality. So this is the algorithm that determines everything, both organic and paid, that goes into whether or not your ad gets delivered, whether you pace accordingly or as you plan to do. The advertiser bid is pretty self-explanatory. We'll talk about that in a little bit. The action rates, that is every kind of action, both positive and negative. An action can be as simple as you stop the scroll, you're flying through. We actually look at time hovering over an ad. That's something that goes factored into it. As creepy as that is, we measure everything. If you clicked on it, if you liked it, you commented, you shared it, you expanded the photo, any interaction you had with the ad, or the interactions you've had with ads that are similar to it in the past, or people like you that have interacted on that same ad, those are all factored in. Then we look a lot at the relevance and the quality of the ad. So this comes down to the creative component. I'll spend a lot of time talking about that too. All these are equally important, but if you have a ton of money, like a crazy high bid, but your ad is terrible, you will lose and you will pay more for that. If you have an amazing ad and a lower bid, that will actually outwin over a higher place bid. We want a quality experience. So these are equally important. So that's the advertiser value component. We want to deliver efficient on-target impressions. And the consumer experience. We don't want Facebook to suck. Cool. So in the simplest way of thinking of this, the ad with the highest total value, not just the total bid, wins the auction. And that's what you see in your feed. Make sense? Cool. So the basic 101 summary of this, the auction optimizes value for both people and businesses. They're equally important. Each ad is optimized for a different outcome. So really think about what you want that objective to be because that's what we're going to strive for. We rank ads based on this total value. So this is the key equation when your boss is asked, like, we're just not bidding high enough. Well, that's part of it. But also make creative that doesn't suck. And think about what people are going to do with it. Make sure your targeting is on par. Cool. So let's dive into how you can maximize delivery. Has anybody here had issues with pacing for a Facebook campaign in the past? Like, we're not spending in full. We're not delivering where we want. The click-through rates aren't where we want, et cetera. So these are all like common problems. And there's small things that you can do to help prevent those. So like, if I had to sum up like what to do for the delivery, I would say strive to maximize all factors. Bid the maximum you're willing to pay for that conversion event, assuming you're bidding on conversions. Create compelling ads. This is a creative conversation. I'll give you some tips on that too. And then target them to the right audience. I can't stress this enough. The right audience. Think about everybody you know in the US, 18 plus. They're all very different, right? That's a common mistake where we just say, just go broad, just 18 plus all day. There's so many other factors that you can do on Facebook, and if you're not targeting a little bit more specific, you're not taking full advantage of our capabilities. So let's start with set the right bid. I'll have a bunch of tips for you, and they might get a little bit tactical, but I'll try to fly through them. So we have, if you don't have a specific monetary value, maybe you don't know what a conversion event is value to you, start with automatic bidding. So any auction you set up, you can either do automatic or manual bidding. If you know for your company that a conversion is worth $20, set that bid at $20. I know this is kind of counterintuitive because oftentimes we're like, I'm going to outsmart the auction. I really only want to pay $5, and $20 is my maximum. We actually are going to do everything in the algorithm possible to deliver under that $20. But if you set your bid at $5, you're going to lose a ton of auctions because it's always a competition every single impression. So that between that $6 and $20 range, you lose every time if you set your maximum. Think of it as like an eBay max bid. We'll only get there if we have to, but that makes you much more competitive in the ad space if you set each conversion bid to what it actually is worth to you. If you don't know what that is to you, set it with automatic bidding. Just say like, here's my total daily budget. Here's my total lifetime budget. Optimize towards these conversions, and then you can start building a baseline for what that conversion event might be worth it to you. Make sense? Sweet. So in a nutshell, bid the maximum amount the ad is worth to you to keep your ad competitive. Also, I probably should have warned you at the beginning of this too, but I can't share these slides, so take pictures and tweet at each other if you want me to stop so you can take a picture, by all means, let me know. But I unfortunately can't share these afterwards. So with that said, I'll give you a second. Cool. And I can always like follow up with you guys and talk about this afterwards. So determine the right budget. This is just as important as the bid amount. These are yin and yang. So if your daily budget, let's say it's $5, you're a small business, you're just starting off in advertising, whatever, this amount doesn't matter. If your daily budget is set at $5 and you value a conversion event as $5, then if your daily budget is $5, you're only going to get one conversion that day, right? Then the ad stops. The campaign shuts off because you've reached your maximum for the day. If a conversion value to you is $30 or $5 and you set your daily budget at more than that, which you should, it should be a lot more than that, your daily budget is $30, look how many more conversions you get. And this is obviously a hypothetical example, but you guys can understand what this looks like in practice. It's pretty basic math, right? You only get as many conversions as you have the opportunity to win. And if everyone costs $5, you need to open up your budgets daily or lifetime so that you can get those conversion events. So I've seen this often be a case where just by default, you think my conversion's $5, my daily budget's $5, conversion a day, I'm winning. You're actually missing out on a lot of conversions that way. So the point here, make sure you've set the budget on your ad set so that you're more likely to capture at least a few of your desired actions every day. Cool. Choose the right audience. We started on this. A lot of brand advertisers especially, you care about broad reach, right? Facebook's really good at reaching a lot of people. But that doesn't mean you have to just do everybody. Every single person is not valuable to you. Whatever your business is, it's a person with a certain interest, pet owners, certain geographic tendency, a certain income level, credit score, whatever those interests or behaviors are to you, you know the people most likely to buy your things probably have some kind of affinity. So use that on Facebook. We can target a ton of stuff, and you should definitely focus on the people that matter to your business, not just everybody. Be mindful of audience overlap. I see this happen a lot, and this really will affect your pacing and your budget. You might have delivery issues, or even in the case where you might cannibalize against yourself. So if you have a targeted campaign one, targeted campaign two, maybe it's 18 plus US and 20 plus US. Obviously, there's a huge overlap there. So you need to be mindful of this. If there's overlapping demographics, and this happens very often, and both these campaigns are running at the same time, that's fine if you really just care about, you know, increasing frequency. But you also should consider that you might, in some cases, if their ads are running at the same time, they might be cannibalizing your own bid. You might be bidding against yourself. Especially if you have like the same or similar creative, and the auction sees that it's coming from the same page, your bid types are similar, you're effectively bidding against yourself. So be mindful of, and this is especially coming from corporate America, most teams don't talk to each other, right? So this happens a lot where, I didn't know they were running this campaign at the same time. Try to, you know, socialize those silos a little bit if you can, but at least be mindful that if you're having issues pacing or if you're not reaching your budget or the efficiencies aren't where you want them to be, it might be because there's a lot of overlap between campaigns. One thing to consider too, this is at the page level. So if you're an advertiser that has multiple pages, those are considered different brands in the auction. So food for thought that those won't compete against each other. It's only at the page level. Also, flexible targeting options. I'm gonna go over Audience Network in a second, but who here's heard of Audience Network? Nice, okay. Word travels fast. I'll go over that in a second if not, but hopefully you guys all know what Instagram is, right? Perfect. So if you're thinking about the time elapsed and the cost per outcome, let's assume that you're, you know, a DR advertiser and your cost per outcome could be as simple as impressions, it could be purchases, it could be signups, emails, whatever that event is for you. Let's say over time, this is what my costs are. They kind of fluctuate, right, if I'm just on Facebook. My overall cost per outcome, okay, if I did Facebook and Audience Network, it's at this value. let's say I throw an Instagram, and that's going to be part of my campaign. It's literally as simple as checking the box so you can get your ads on Facebook and Instagram. The auction, because we're people-based, we know who you are across both devices, we connect it. It will automatically optimize between the two platforms and find you regardless of what device you're on, which platform you're using. We're really good at finding people. Although oftentimes, Instagram ends up being a little bit higher priced because there's not as many ad inventory. So overall, your Instagram, if you looked at that in isolation, your cost per outcome might be a little bit higher. But one thing you should consider just testing, if you run both at the same time, you can easily optimize, let the auction find these people on both platforms. You might find the net outcome is that your overall campaign cost per outcome is much cheaper. I mean, this is something that if you haven't thought about playing with it, you should definitely do so. I still think there's something to be said for making sure your Instagram creative is its own unique experience and that you make creative good for Instagram and Facebooky creative. There are some nuances there. But at the very least, if you check the box, the system will automatically optimize between the two. Your same targeting, your same people, and your same creative can play in both platforms. Make sense? Awesome. So just to touch on the audience network real quick, because not many people are aware of this. This is kind of Facebook dominating the internet. I'm pretty stoked about this. So audience network is basically the same way that you can say, okay, I'm running a Facebook campaign, push it to Instagram. You can push it to audience network. And audience network is basically tapping into all mobile apps and all mobile web. So in the example on the right, this is just like I'm in Shazam, right? That Uniqlo ad that I see right there, the user has no idea where that came from. That's actually pushed from Facebook. This is part of a Facebook campaign. And what's exciting for advertisers is that it's kind of hard to see on these, but you don't have to change anything. You don't have to make any unique creative for this. The system automatically optimizes and reconfigures the ads that you have to fit in whatever interstitial component is there. So this is a way that if you want to open up inventory beyond Facebook, but you still want to make sure your targeting's on par, your data's in a secure place, that you can measure it the same way you're measuring it, that you can optimize the same way you're used to. Everything applies except it's everything off Facebook. So this is worth trying if you guys haven't thought about it. It's literally a check the box and you can expand audience network. And what we found is that it not only gives you 6 to 11% more mobile inventory, meaning like up to 10, 11% more opportunities to win an auction, that effectively lowers your CPMs. We find that they're 20% lower on audience network or campaigns that just expanded to the audience network. So if you haven't thought about trying this, it's definitely worth considering. Most of the time, people that are like 1 in every 5 minutes spent on your phone is spent on Instagram or Facebook. But for all that other time, you could still reach them through audience network. And this is, like I said, both apps and mobile web. So worth checking out. Improve your relevance score and monitor feedback. How many people have looked at relevance scores before to see how their campaigns are doing? And the positive negative feedback, we're kind of familiar with this? Awesome, very cool. So if you guys aren't familiar with what this looks like, if you're just an ads manager, business manager, power editor, this is where you'll see, and it's hard to see, so I've blown it up in a second. You'll look at the relevance score and the positive and negative feedback on an actual ad. So if you're not sure if the issue is your targeting or it's your campaign, if it's that specific ad that might be failing, this is a good way to sort out, well, what's going wrong with my campaign? Is it the ad itself or what do I need to do to change it? So if you go down to the ads level, you know, it's ad account, campaign, ad set, ads level, the very bottom, the actual creative, it'll give you both a relevance score and a positive and negative feedback score. So I'll talk about what goes into a relevance score a little bit more in a bit. But one thing to think about, which some brands just didn't even know existed, is the positive and negative correlation. So positive actions are, I clicked on it, I liked it, I shared it, I stopped on it. The negative feedback, if you guys have ever seen that little like X at the top, like, why am I seeing this? I don't want to see this. Get this out of my feed. Unfollow so-and-so. That's usually because it was a poorly targeted ad, and the auction wants that feedback from you. So I highly encourage you guys, like, if you find an ad on Facebook, you're like, this is stupid, and this doesn't relate to me, raise your hand and put negative actions in there, because if you say, I don't want to see this, not only will you not see that ad, but that advertiser will effectively be penalized for putting that ad on Facebook, and you'll start getting better content. So we really value your feedback. It goes both ways. This is a problem. When you see negative feedback, like your relevance score is 1, you have low positive and medium negative. This should definitely be an indicator things need to change. The scores go 1 to 10. 1 is about as bad as an ad can be. This is a warning. And this is a Chicago thing. I had to put a space up. Okay. Awesome. So relevance score. Let me go into what this entails. So for those that haven't seen this, experienced it, or started tracking this, an ad that's served more than 500 times in the auction, which is most campaigns across the board, regardless of budget, you get a relevance score between 1 and 10, and 10 is the best, right? A score is calculated based on, like I said, both the positive and negative feedback. We split it out for you so you can see which one is high, medium, and low and what it's doing. But this is actually a way that we quantify this. The impact of it, so if you have a really low relevance score, and even if your targeting is great and all the other factors, your bids are great, your budget's great, every other factor is doing really well, if you have a low relevance score, you're going to pay more to deliver that ad, or we just won't deliver it. We're like, yeah, everyone raised their hand and says your creative's terrible. We're just going to like not let your campaign pace. So sometimes if you're seeing that you're just not delivering the impressions you want, it might be just because you have a really low relevance score. You need to change the creative. Or maybe it's just not relevant to that target audience. So it will also help you test creative concepts before running a campaign. This can be a tool like as a kind of a pre-rollout if you want to play with it. Put two creatives in your ads manager, put $5 against it, see what happens for a day. Right away, if it gets over 500 impressions, you'll see which ad is doing better in terms of relevance score, and you'll know which one to promote. So that's a really cheap, easy, scrappy way to test a campaign if you don't know what creative might work best for your brand. And that's kind of what it looks like. You'll see this for every ad if you click on it. Relevance score 7, that's pretty good. Anything above a 5 is pretty good. But obviously it varies, and there's a lot of factors that go into it. So be specific with your targeting. I touched on this before, but it is a major impact. Maybe your ad, so a certain person might not like it, not because of the creative, but just not relevant for them. I'm allergic to cats, and people that were in my workshop on Monday, I got served a litter box ad and it infuriated me. I'm like, I would never have a cat. So that was a terrible example of targeting. So of course I marked that it was negative feedback, and I'm not gonna get any cat ads, I hope. So be specific. Rather than just doing 18 plus, this is something where especially the more traditional companies or the big TV buyers, they think through the lens of just age and gender. Like that's all that they're used to targeting on broad media channels or traditional media channels. We can do so much more on Facebook, and you really should take advantage of the platform to do that. So rather than just 18 plus, consider a smaller age demographic, behaviors, interests. Like if you can think of it, we can target it on Facebook. There are so many different things. Test them out, it doesn't cost you any more, and actually, comparing any factor, like literally anything but US 18 plus, you already have an advantage, because this is the default for like a ton of advertisers. Like, I don't know, just like legal age to vote and more. Like that's usually where people start. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's really who you care about, is just a product that's relevant for everybody. But I definitely consider layering on some targeting, at least see how it does. It'll be a lot more efficient if nothing else. Cool. Consider your ad's image and message. Like, not surprisingly, good creative does better than bad creative. So these are obviously image dominant. If you can't see the text from here, that's actually a good test. What I often say to people, if you want to know whether or not your creative might resonate well with your brand, might drive the conversions you care about, cover up the text above and below it. And if you have no idea what that image, what brand that image is for, your image isn't doing what it should be. It's like a lot of times I've seen advertisers that will like play with metaphors or something really edgy or funny or more cats and babies and puppies because everyone's going to like it and engage with it. Does it have anything to do with your brand? In this case, okay, vegetables. This is a vegetable market. That works pretty well, right? Another mistake that people make is not that. Okay. Another mistake people make is just too much text. We're so often used to text telling the story. And just because you have a lot of places you can put text doesn't mean you should. So yes, you can put it as the header copy, you can put it as the text bar, you can have a link description. These are all fields you can edit, and people do read those, but think about your own experience scrolling in feed. If the image doesn't capture your attention, if the video doesn't stop you, you're probably gonna keep scrolling. Not only that, but the 20% rule, which I'm sure all of you have like fought with and dealt with at some point, that still applies officially, but might be getting better. Either way, this dominates the image, right? If it's just text all day, people scroll through it, they don't pay attention, it's gonna get a lower relevance score, you're gonna pay more for the delivery, or your campaign will be paused. There we go. So choose ad content that's relevant and interesting to the people in your target audience. Hopefully as a business or as an advertiser or somebody managing a brand business, you know a little bit about what they care about. There's gotta be a certain something that people that convert versus those that don't have in common. Do the research, first party data is so powerful, and on Facebook you can target those same people. Or upload that list directly and find more like them. So another concept that people might not think about is refreshing your ad. This bar, let's just say this is time. This is a month, a year, several weeks, whatever, you know, the time amount doesn't matter because it depends on the campaign. But let's say you put up an ad and you're targeting local people that, you know, grocery shop, and this is my market ad. You see a lot of Jasper's Market, by the way. This is like the Facebook default. And a sidebar that I think is funny, somebody in San Francisco were like, there's so much traffic for Jasper's Market, I'm going to open a place called Jasper's Market. So there's actually a grocery store in San Francisco called Jasper's Market that has nothing to do with Facebook, but has like millions of fans. I digress. So if you are a fan and live near the San Francisco Jasper's Market, this and the targeting's right, the bid, the budget, it works, you might get a relevance score of 7. Awesome. We're doing well. Month one is great. Let's do it again. This is still doing great. We're doing well. Our CPMs are great. Our cost per conversion. We're getting more traffic in store. Things are awesome. Then what happened? The next month, it's down to a 6, but we didn't change anything. And it just keeps getting lower. What's happening? Oftentimes, it's just a time period. Think of your own experience in feed. If you see the same ad hundreds of times, you eventually stop liking it as much, right? It's creative fatigue. This is a common advertising problem across the board. So sometimes your solution might be just as simple as, this is doing well, let's try it one more time. Okay, before the auction penalizes us, let's just switch up the creative and you keep that same relevance score. Same thing here. You keep refreshing it over time, and there is no magic time amount. This really depends on a lot of things. But keep this in mind. Sometimes you might just need to swap out creative. Basic creative fatigue actually impacts the auction and what you pay for it. Yay, thumbs up. Okay, so understanding how to improve ad delivery with Delivery Insights. Who here has heard of Delivery Insights? Nice, you guys are part of like the tiny pilot. So this is actually brand new. We announced this at the end of March, so this is like less than a month old. Basically, we're trying to take the guesswork out of it for advertisers. So those that have been in the thick of it for a long time period, you might have some tricks that you've come up with yourself. You're like, oh, I just know if I switch the bid type or bid amount or if I swap the creative. Those might all be pretty basic to you guys. You might already be doing them. Another concept that's going to take the guesswork out of it is Delivery Insights. So if you don't see it in Power Editor Ads Manager yet, don't fret. It's coming. It's on a slow rollout across the U.S. and then eventually globally. So honestly, any day now you start seeing this in Ads Manager, and don't ask me to expedite it. I have no control over this for you personally. But it will take the guesswork out of it. It will say, based on all these signals and what we're seeing, we're just going to make it more transparent. Your bid's too low. That's what it is. Your targeting's too broad. Your creative has a very low relevance score. We're going to cite that for you to take time away from you guys and make it a lot easier to manage your jobs. So I'm really stoked about this, and it will save a lot of questions that I get personally and hopefully make your lives easier. So stay tuned for this. It's definitely coming. And here we go. Guesswork out of it. Delivery Insights. You'll probably hear more about it once more people have it. So here's a summary of like maximizing the best delivery, and then I'm going to jump into actual conversions, more of the DR focus. So set the right bid, determine the right budget. We talked about making sure that you have enough room to convert several times. Choose the right audience. Not everybody is relevant to you, and if it is, make sure your creative is, you know, broad enough that it speaks to all these people. It's a balance. Be mindful of the audience overlap. At least be cognizant that you might be bidding against yourself, or if your goal is to increase frequency, that's actually a good way to kind of game the system that way. If you want to get these people as many times as possible, you can have two campaigns with the same creative targeting them. You might pay more for it because you're bidding against yourself, but that's a good way to get a lot of frequency if that's something you care about. Flexible placement options, if you haven't played with it, Instagram, audience network, it's literally you can check the box. You'll still get reporting on how each platform is doing individually, but this might make your overall campaign more efficient. Improve your relevance and monitor feedback. Look at your relevance score, look at the positive and negative feedback, look how it's changing over time and see, and then act on it so you can start getting more efficient media. And understand how to improve it with Delivery Insights. I hope next time I'm here I can tell you guys like, oh, you're all pros in Delivery Insights and you won't even need this presentation because it will just do it for you. Awesome. Do you guys want me to go back or is that good? All right. So I'll dive into how to achieve more conversions. So a lot of the same best practices that apply to delivery apply to driving conversions as well. So conversion events, we've been touching on this a little bit, but this can mean a lot of different things. Typically we think like conversion equals purchase. If you're in the services industry, which I've been in for many years, that's not necessarily as transparent. It could be an email sign up, you know, join our newsletter. It could be filling out a form. You know, I'm interested in booking an event, so I want a quote. Whatever is important to your business, it could just be play this video. We have a video trailer coming up. We just want you to know about this new movie release. It could be just landing on your website. We just want to get a big traffic pool. What are you going to do with it? So when I say conversions, it's generally all of these type of things, but it's what your business cares about. Maybe it's just an impression. That can be a conversion too. So conversion optimization. What do I mean when I talk about this? So this is a factor in the auction as well. So we talked about all these other parameters. We also take into consideration your likelihood to respond to an ad. There are clicky people in the digital world. There are non-clicky people. There are those that are just likely to do what they're told, those that are just curious by nature. My mother-in-law clicks on everything and likes every single picture all the time. She's wonderful. But there's other people that just, like, you're numb to it, right? Like, some people have a very specific purpose on Facebook. They just want to get a certain update or certain something from someone, and they might not respond to ads just ever. That is a smaller factor that plays into it, but still something that's considered. Another thing that you can think about is, maybe some of you guys have had this experience. Let's say you're in your newsfeed, you see an American Airlines ad taking you to some beautiful beach destination. You're like, oh, that's really pretty, and it's really cold in Chicago, like, all the time. So I'm going to click on this, and I'm going to look into it. You click on that ad, you buy that American flight, and you're going to this beach. Then what a coincidence, all of a sudden, you suddenly see ads for flip-flops and swimsuits, and the hotel next to where you're going suddenly has a deal for you. And how serendipitous that this is amazing. How do they know? Because we're good at this. It's all big data, right? And this is based on the conversion pixels that you place, the bids you set, the advertisers that are in market to find people like those. Bless you. Oftentimes an advertiser will be, if I am a flip-flop seller, I'm going to look for people that booked beach vacations, people that are traveling to this area, people that are like these customers that buy during these seasonal times. These are all options and ways that you might be reached. So has anybody had an experience where you buy one thing and then suddenly you see a ton similar to it? I see a lot of nods. Perfect. So this is all conversion optimization. We know not only that you're in market for this, but you've done it before and you might do it again. And it's usually relevant for you. If you're booking a big trip, you're like, I don't even have to search anything. It's just in my feed. That's obviously the goal. So more tips on conversions. Implement the Facebook pixel and specify your conversion events. Those that bared through 3 hours with me on Tuesday definitely got a taste of this. We talked a lot about pixel tracking and conversion events. We're all familiar with the glorious marketing funnel, right? One way to think about this is think about the marketing funnel as it aligns to your site. This is assuming you have online events that you want people to take. You want them to click through, you want them to sign up, convert, whatever that case may be. One thing you might not think about, even those that have placed the Facebook conversion pixel on their site, place it in more than one place. So if you just have it on the landing page, that's a good start. Your homepage will start getting traffic. You'll start building those leads or whatever you consider them. But you won't know the people that started at the lead and went down to the add to the cart, that went down to purchase. If you have the pixel placed at least in three places, or whatever your site map looks like, you can not only target each of those differently, you can bid for those differently, you can send different creative to all these people. It's a very different message of, hey, I hear you that you're checking out Nike, versus, hey, I hear that you're really into sports sneakers. Hey, I know you want those Jordans, you should come back and buy them. Right? Those are all different levels, and if you have the pixel placed at each of those product pages as you go deeper down the funnel, you can not only optimize your ads towards each of those people, you can create specific creative for them, and you can also exclude people. So you can say in your auction, target the people that have been on my homepage but haven't purchased something. Then it's a retargeting message, right? Target the people that are purchasers and do a lookalike audience to find more people like those that purchase. These are all very real possibilities that a lot of advertisers are taking advantage of. So if you have a conversion online event that you care about, definitely consider building the pixel, putting it wherever you want to track, and playing with the include and exclude options. Make sense? And I can talk about pixels all day later. It's really boring, but follow up with me if you have questions on this. So optimize for the right conversion event. The same way that the delivery thing I talked about, find the best objective. Think about if you're placing pixels on your site, what you might want to optimize the auction for. So you can say bid towards conversions on pixel A. Pixel A is your homepage. Maybe there's thousands or tens of thousands of inputs that you get every single day on your homepage. So that's enough of a signal that the auction can just run with that. Tons of people on the homepage, five more like it, perfect. As you go deeper down the funnel, not surprisingly, less and less people convert. So oftentimes I'll see advertisers struggle with delivery and getting the actual full amount spent or getting the results they want because they're optimizing towards purchasers. Think about how often people get to that bottom level of your marketing funnel. Do people always request a quote? Are they always buying a car, finding an agent? Or are they just like buying something on Amazon all the time? These happen at much different conversion rates and much more or less often. If it happens too rarely, the the oxygen won't have enough of a signal to actually be able to deliver against it. So if you're having trouble and you started with purchasers because that's your sweet spot, but it just doesn't happen enough, consider taking a step back and optimizing towards people that placed in cart or people that landed on the homepage. At least until you pick up delivery, the auction has enough of a signal to work with and they can optimize from there. Make sense? Cool. We're getting pretty tactical, nitty gritty. So set your bid. It's the same thing as what we talked about last time. The same best practices apply, even more so if you have a DR conversion objective. There's no advantage to bidding the minimum. Bid the maximum that your advertiser is willing to pay for that bid, and then we're gonna deliver under it, but you'll win the competition of the ads auction much more often. Determine a budget. Don't just set the minimum of one conversion per day. We talked about this before. Make sure that you actually have room to convert more often. Set your target audience. Everybody and their mom isn't relevant all the time, so think about what's interesting for your business and the type of people you wanna get. And then consider fan and Instagram, the same thing that we talked about for delivery. If you expand to more options, you can still drive people through the funnel from an audience network placement. That Shazam example I showed, if they clicked on that ad and go to the same landing page experience, the Facebook pixel would fire the same way. You'd see it in your measurement and reporting, and so it's no different than any campaign that converted on Facebook. Consider the differences between devices. This isn't always relevant. Oftentimes, I recommend that advertisers don't set specific mobile and desktop budgets unless it's really important to you. So some advertisers have different values for mobile conversions versus desktop conversions. Keep in mind your reporting is going to look at the user level because it's a logged in base. So when we see total conversions, it's not just click based, it's not just view based. It's people that were exposed to the campaign during this time period, then thereafter converted on your event. So sometimes people care about one of these more than another or have different values for them. So consider putting them in, if that's the case for you, put them in different ad sets, set different bid amounts, or you can have a mobile and desktop conversion pixel if it's important for you to track these very separately. Otherwise, if you just run a campaign, let it find people where they're at, it will end up being mostly mobile. And you can still get the breakdown of mobile versus desktop when you look at your ads manager reporting. You just break it down in the columns. Cool. All righty. If you value conversions differently, like I said, or if you have different pixel setups across devices, then consider creating separate ad sets for each of these. If it's not important for you, mobile all day. That's where everybody is. All right, last tip of this section. Test, test, test. It's kind of a cop-out answer, but it's so true. Like, there's so many ways that you can very easily and efficiently test things on Facebook. My only ask of you is to not chase shiny objects. Don't just test everything because it's cool and throw cats up because you know it'll get a lot of clicks. Think about your business objective first and foremost. We spend a lot of time at Facebook across many teams and people a lot smarter than me working on these algorithms and the auction to make sure that we're driving towards what your business cares about. We're no longer in the world of just likes and fans and engagement. There is value in that, but what we really want to focus on is what is your business trying to solve for? And then how does Facebook fit into that equation? So test things, the bid type, the budget, the duration of the campaign. You'd be amazed that just by shortening the length of your campaign for the same budget, you might see certain spikes on certain days. It will force the auction to work harder, so you might get more short-term conversions. Conversely, if you extend the campaign length, you might get more consistent conversions, and you can start building like a rate of conversions for your business. Creative, devices, targeting, these are all things you can and should test on the platform. That's my PSA of the day. So maximizing conversions. I'm not going to read all of these to you guys. You guys are literate. But you can see this is the recap of what you should be thinking about when you want to optimize conversions. Like I said, it's very similar to the best practices for delivery. But in this case, consider the Facebook pixel. You want to drive towards that. You can not only measure that, you can optimize towards those conversion pixels. So you tell the auction, I care about these people, I want to serve them this creative. Spend more money driving them to this DR event because I care most about purchasers. I want people on the site traffic so I can follow them up with a lead strategy later. Make sense? All right, I've yacked for enough time, I hope. Oh yeah, and test and learn, that's really important, like I said. Okay, I'm gonna open up to questions because a lot of people have questions, but okay, this is my disclaimer though. These are my FAQs, I get these a lot. Yes, there are a lot of brands doing it right. I'm not going to list all of them, nor am I legally allowed to do a lot of these things. So feel free to take a picture of these and go to these sites. Those are really good case studies. You can search by vertical. You can search by brand advertiser, search by type. Where can I get more advertising support? This is probably my number one question. They're like, this is awesome. I'm one person, and the entire business expects me to run everything social all the time. start there. There's a lot of resources that are free, that are available. There's people support, there's Q&A, there's a whole team dedicated to this. So if you need help, start there. Where can you learn about all things Facebook? You don't have no idea how to use Ads Manager or Power Editor. You want to get better at it. If you want to get in the thick of what a conversion pixel is, where do I even start? That's a great resource. We have courses, we have classes, we have downloads, we have one-sheeters. If you need some stats to convince your CEO that what your job matters and what you're doing is important, there's a lot of good stuff there. And then I also get this, you guys hiring? Yeah, we're always hiring. That's my default answer. There's the link. I can't help you personally get a job. Okay. Any other questions on Facebook?
If you have questions, hold your hands high. And also just one more resource, John Loomer. For those that are in the Facebook ad world, he is definitely someone to follow. It's JonLoomer. Check it out. You're the first question. Go.
You mentioned that if the relevance score is low, mm-hmm. the brand starts to get penalized. So say historically your relevance score has been low or under 5. Is there a way for a brand to work its way back up so that it does become... it's not as penalized and will continue to be optimized and delivered even more with once it has better creative?
That's an awesome question. The historical performance record is a factor in the auctions, but it's much more short-term than you'd think. So you'll look at your last campaign, maybe your last two campaigns, and if they were terrible, you might be penalized. But if you start consistently performing better, it can be as simple as like a few weeks difference. That you, it'll look at it real time, it'll say, they took this into consideration, they started making improvements, and once your relevance score back up, you'll be awarded the same way that the other brands are penalized. Yeah, it's a really good question.
I have a question.
Sure.
This might be answered with the new ad delivery insights platform.
Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you. Do you mind?
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
This might be solved by the ad delivery insights mm-hmm. capability that's coming, but what would you say about an ad that has maybe high negative feedback, mm-hmm. but also a high relevancy score and is the top performing ad and driving all of the conversions?
That's a really good question. So if you have high positive feedback and a high relevance score, but also high negative feedback, we see this is often the case. I think the best example I can come up with, I'm not going to be controversial, I'm just going to say like Trump, for example, or any controversial character, or any highly scrutinized brand, whether that you're going to get a lot of negative feedback anyway. So that's something we often see. If you're a brand that people are going to love and people are going to hate, it might necessarily be reflective of your ad. It might be that your targeting might be not as fine-tuned as you want. You might want to look at the targeting more than anything. The main factor that you look at is the relevance score. Even if you have high and high, but your relevance score is over 5, that means that the auction knows that, okay, you're probably more of a controversial brand. Overall, you're still winning, meaning you're mostly on target. If your relevance score goes kind of below 5, then you know that the negative's winning more than the positive, and it's probably your ad and not the brand. So yeah, that's a really good question. I'll let Jeff do his magic.
We've gone back and forth between like the Ads Manager and then Power Editor. Mm-hmm. It seems like sometimes there's some things in Power Editor that aren't in Ads Manager. Mm-hmm. Currently, can you maybe tell us the difference of what's still in Power Editor that's not also in Ads Manager?
Yeah, definitely. I think the simplest way to compare the two is if you do things in bulk. So usually if you're just starting off or if you have more simple campaigns, I often recommend just do Ads Manager. It has 99% of what you'll need all the time. I personally prefer it a lot better too. It's just easier and more user-friendly. Power Editor is really good if you are mass editing a lot of things. So we'll see like 20 different creative iterations, or I've seen cases where they have a different message for every state. So they've duplicated their campaign 50 times and they have to just change one word, the state name, every time. That's a lot easier to do in Power Editor because you can make mass edits, mass duplications, and do a lot more sophisticated things like that. If you're doing very particular device targeting, you care much more about mobile versus desktop, and you really want to control the amounts for each, Power Editor is better for that. Honestly, it's unless you're doing a lot of things that are very specific and super tactical, you're not going to miss out on much with Ads Manager. Yeah, good question.
I have a quick question that piggybacks off of that. As an agency, mm-hmm. I've found that it's very difficult to, if you have multiple clients, when you're in the Power Editor, to organize them in a way that it's easy to show, okay, well, here's this client, here's that mm-hmm. client. There's no like folder system or playlist that would make it really easy. Do you have any tips on how to best organize it as an agency?
I think the Facebook default answer will be Business Manager, to say like that's a step above ad accounts. If you have the ability as an agency to create a business manager, then you can have, you know, client A, client B, client C. You get a little bit more organization there. You can have different ad accounts and campaigns and everything within each of those. If you're running everything from the same just this is my view of Ads Manager and Power Editor. It's just more of a manual hack where I've seen campaigns be like, this is for client A, do not edit, is the name of the campaign ID, for example. It's a little more hacky, unfortunately.
Hands up. I saw yours earlier, so I'm gonna give it to you, then I'm gonna come to you next.
I haven't heard of Audience Network before. Are you able to target demographics as easily as you are on Facebook? I mean, if you're putting an ad on Facebook, you already know that Facebook has a specific demographic, mm-hmm. but do you know what other apps or locations it will go to?
Definitely, that's a really good question. So in the simplest answer is that all the same targeting applies. The way we do that, and it's gonna sound creepy, but basically if you're on your Facebook phone and you're logged in, rarely do people log out. So we know your device ID. We know who you are across everything mobile on your phone. And oftentimes you've probably authenticated like the login with Facebook, whether it's Pandora or Spotify, whatever. You're just like, yeah, I don't want to type in my password, log in with Facebook. All of that is gathered into like a subsequent ad network that we can deliver impressions against. So we're not allowed to review all the publishers that are in those groups because they have their own sales teams and we don't want to cannibalize and upset them. But we vet them out very strongly against a lot of criteria so that they're savory apps, the ones I can tell you are like New York Times and Huffington Post and things like that are in there, where it will deliver and it will tell you who that person is. It's the same targeting, it's not duplicative efforts. If you just wanted one frequency and it happened to deliver on HuffPost, you won't get it in feed. So the systems talk to each other that way. Yeah, really good question.
This is the final question. I would say anybody else that has questions, definitely connect with Cassandra afterwards, but we're running short on time, so this is the last one.
Hi. You were saying that it's important to maximize your bid and your budget. So mm-hmm. would you recommend spending like all of your budget on your lifetime amount right off the bat? Or is it does it like hinder you to just add money as you go along?
That's a really good question. I've seen it done both ways. One thing to consider that a lot of people don't realize is that if you start on a daily budget, $5 a day, and you switch that to a lifetime budget, the auction in a lot of ways resets itself and it doesn't take into account the money you spent before if it's in the same campaign. So it will say like you might have spent $15, it's been 3 days, but you switch it to, okay, make it a $30 lifetime budget. The system says make it $30 starting now, not $30 total. So that's something to like play with, and I've seen a lot of people be like, why am I charged double overall? That's a consideration. I would recommend to not change the overall budget as often. If you are gonna make monetary adjustments, it's easier and better for the auction if you just change the bid. The bid is like, I'm improving the ads, it tells the auction that you're optimizing. The budget says, I don't really know what's important for this campaign, I'm just gonna keep changing it. So between the two, I'd recommend bid. Awesome, thank you guys. Hopefully you got something out of it. Appreciate it.